Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Squawker Talker podcast. And right at the point in the season where trophies become the big, big focus, here on the Talker, we are on the glory trail ourselves. Well, kind of. By proxy, we're on the glory trail because, as fans of the majority of Premier League teams will tell you, trophies tend to be locked down by a select band of clubs, with membership to the Groovy Gang pretty difficult to come by. Leicester's Premier League triumph in 2016 and Wigan and Swansea's Cup glory in 2013, along with a few other stories along the way, have sadly been anomalies in the last two decades. The rich and powerful have reigned supreme, and the scope for footballing fairy tales has shrunk right down. But it's not all doom and gloom, as on today's show, we'll be putting our heads together to plot a course for glory for every single current top flight club. Yes, that's right. When will every Premier League club win their next trophy? And I promise, even if it takes all night, we will be here and we will get the answer for everybody. So, lots to get through on today's show. My name's Fergal Brennan, and joining me, as ever, we have Squawker's chief football scribe, Mohamed Butt. Mo, how's things?
Better than Antonio Conte, I can tell you that.
Difficult right now. Conte's having a lot of problems.
He's got a lot of problems. I'm thankfully don't have as many as he does. But he's all right. He'll quit. He won't be Spurs manager in a month, so he'll be all right. He'll be out of the crossfire. He can go back to living in Italy and just being nice and chilled.
Well, as a little insight into how the podcast is going to go down, that's an early prediction from my end that Antonio Conte will be gone before Tottenham win their next trophy. But we're not going to give too much away because we've got 20 teams to get through. Alongside Mo, plotting a path to silverware, we also have Football London correspondent Kaya Kainak. Kaya, how's things?
Yeah, I'm very good. Mo's just reminded me of Antonio Conte's situation at Spurs. From an Arsenal perspective, I'm very much enjoying that. So even better mood now. All good here, yeah.
Three cheers for Conte. But we're going to talk about Conte, well, Spurs and Conte, whether he's still there or he's not still there in the next couple of seasons in just a minute. So we are going to get through all 20 teams, but we have to chop this up accordingly, logically, to get the best out of the teams that are of interest in terms of when they will win their next trophy. So Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, the expectation is that they will win at least one trophy this season. We don't know how big it'll be, how shiny it'll be, but Anfield, Stamford Bridge and the Etihad will have a new addition to their trophy cabinets this summer. So we are going to discuss that, but it is going to get pushed on a little bit. So we're going to talk about probably the teams you'd class as being in the chasing pack, pushing for the top four, and a couple of clubs and teams, Newcastle, that are going to be looking to spend big and force their way into the exclusive club. So Mo, we're going to start with Newcastle because they are the big talking points because they are now the richest club this side of the moon. And we're expecting Mbappe and Haaland and Messi and Ronaldo and everybody to be at St. James's Park in the next couple of seasons. So essentially, how quickly can this money, this massive investment, translate into trophies for what's been a pretty patient fan base in Newcastle? Manchester City, when they were bought out in 2008, it took them three seasons to win an FA Cup and then a Premier League title in four. It's difficult to be directly comparing the two, but that's the biggest example of a huge mega money takeout that we have in the Premier League. How quickly can Newcastle do that? Will they follow that pattern or could they maybe even do it a bit faster?
Oh, they could do it faster than that. I think they could do it faster than that. I mean, look, they're not going to get Yaya Toure from Barcelona, Sergio Aguero from Atletico Madrid, David Silva from Valencia. They're not going to get a big name like that. Probably. Maybe they will. I don't know. But, you know, it's not likely they're going to pick up a name like that. Although Eden Hazard does look like he's ripe for rehabilitation. But assuming they don't pick up a name like that, I don't think that's going to hurt on them. Because if you look at their recruitment, Newcastle, they've spent very sensibly in January. Now, they spent a lot of money, for sure. But it was all on very intelligent buys. They got players they needed that were filled needs in the squad. They weren't afraid to buy from lower down the Premier League or from in the Premier League. I mean, they're low down there too. But, you know, from around them in the Premier League, they went and got Dan Byrne, went and got Chris Wood. You know, these guys. But then also they went, these guys aren't highly regarded necessarily, but they're effective players. And then they went and they got Kieran Trippier from Atletico Madrid. That's a huge get. Now, okay, fine. They profited a bit because United may not be trying to buy him. He didn't want to go, he didn't want to sell to United. And then, you know, he wanted to go home. And so Atleti were very nice and they let him go and for a cheap fee. So, Okay, they got lucky there. That's a big boon. But, you know, like Bruno Guimarães, that's a hell of a pickup, right? That's a good get. They've signed very intelligently, and they're going to sign again in the summer. And they're going to sign again in January. And then again, they're going to keep investing money because they can. And they've clearly shown that they can do it intelligently as well. And speaking of, but money, of course, money is nothing without coaching. And Eddie Howe is clearly a great coach. We saw this with Bournemouth, where he took a squad that kept like remnants of the championship defense in it, really. And still did well, still competed. Now, I mean, they never won anything. They never got close to anything necessarily. But for a squad the size of Bournemouth with the financial resources they had, which wasn't really much, they competed. They played beautiful football and they did really well. Now he's at a club with an unlimited budget. And you can already hear, if you listen to Joe Willock's interview, by the way, and this was an interview after a 1-1 draw, by the way, he was effusive in his praise for Eddie Howe. Like he said, we all believe in Eddie Howe. We all want to go on this journey with Eddie Howe. We believe in everything. We want to follow him and do, you know, that speaks to me that this is a manager who has really, A, got a vision for where Newcastle are going to go, and B, has convinced the players already of his vision. Now, if he gets one or two very, very good players in the summer, I'm thinking a mobile, decent striker that's really going to score them consistently, score them goals, you know, and, you know, maybe a creative right winger or it's really another solid centre back to go next to Dan Byrne. They're going to be serious business, man. You're going to have to start taking Villa seriously to move up the table. I don't think they'll win the thing this season or next season, but I think by 2025 they can win something. And I think that might, whether that's the EFL Cup or the Conference League, I'll speak more about the Conference League in a minute with another team. But I think that that's genuine. They've got a chance. The Conference League, I think, presents a huge opportunity for Premier League clubs. And I think Newcastle will take it. I think by 2025, they'll have won a trophy, for sure.
Yeah, you're definitely not going to win anything by playing Dan James at centre-half, though. I think we can safely all agree on that one. We're going to flick over to Arsenal. Obviously, Kaya...
Pep would try.
He will give it a go, an inverted centre-back, but let's be honest, that would just be a dangerous game. Arsenal, under Mikel Arteta, generally speaking, Kaya, are showing signs of moving in the right direction. He does obviously already have one trophy under his belt after winning the FA Cup, but the focus now between here and the end of the season is on a top-four finish and getting Arsenal back into the Champions League. But the questions over trophies, a cold-blooded piece of silver to get your hands on, will pop up again next season, and Arteta will face a different set of questions. So given the fact that he got that monkey off his back quite early by winning a trophy and making sure that the pressure didn't build in that regard, when can Arsenal realistically now look and say, progress in the league, hopefully, potentially getting back into the Champions League, now we want a trophy?
Well, you say one trophy. I'm going to use the Jose Mourinho classification system and say two and count the Community Shield, just because I think that's a little boost. And there's talk of an Emirates Cup this summer, but that could be something. But I think in terms of what we would all define as proper trophies, Arsenal, I don't think their focus is going to be on them quite now. I think, obviously, they're knocked out of the FA Cup and the EFL Cup this season. And I think we've seen that the primary focus is on getting back into Europe. And then everyone assumes that once Arsenal get back into the top four, or if they get back into the top four, sorry, at the end of this season, that it will then, that'll be it, that'll be done. And Arsenal will be in the top four forever like they were under Arsene Wenger. It's not going to be that simple. It's not just a linear progression. Man United, if Arsenal beat them to it, will get stronger. West Ham still look a very good side. Spurs, you assume, will get their act together. So teams like that will be very difficult to stop. And Arsenal's primary focus will be on maintaining themselves as a Champions League squad. They're still a long way off that top three, which is where they're aiming to be under Mikel Arteta. I don't think they're too concerned about sort of your Carabao Cup, your FA Cup. I don't think that's a primary focus. That said, if Arsenal don't finish in the top four this season, and let's say they finish fifth, sixth, come in the Europa League places, then you're maybe looking at a more concrete chance for a trophy, because that'll be another avenue for Arsenal to get back into the Champions League, which is what their aim is to do under Mikel Arteta. If you talk to people around the club, their primary focus is getting back into Europe's top table, top tier competition, not as quickly as possible, but without too much more delay, because Arteta's been there a while now. And I think he does want to get his team back in the top four, competing himself against the top managers. And also in terms of bringing players in, it'll be great for the next step of the project for Mikel Arteta to attract much more better players and have a wider appeal in the transfer market. We saw with players like Dusan Vlahovic in January, it's a lot easier to try and get those kind of players if you've got Champions League football. If you're batting with Europa League football or even Europa Conference League football, that becomes a lot more difficult. So I don't think Arsenal's primary focus will be on trophies. That said, you can never rule Arsenal out of an FA Cup run. But if Arsenal don't win a trophy by 2025, but they finish top four every season, I don't necessarily think that'll be a disaster for them.
We're going to touch on it in a bit more detail later on, but I do find it interesting, this link between transfer targets and attracting transfer targets, and how, as you say, Blachowicz or a similar type of player would come to Arsenal for Champions League football, but would not be massively impressed by saying, oh yeah, but we've won an FA Cup in the last 5 years. It is amazing how, when you measure it in terms of transfers and other things, maybe removing a bit of the fan element from it, it does change the metrics that it's measured in. Manchester United, Mo, a little bit of cheer for you to talk about. The Jose Mourinho effect, or the Jose Mourinho hangover, still lingers around Old Trafford as the last boss to win a major trophy at United, EFL Cup and Europa League back in 2017. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has tried and failed. Ralf Rangnick is currently trying and failing to win a major trophy with United. Give us some hope. If the managerial situation gets resolved in the summer, realistically, when can Man United be shooting for a major trophy again?
Firstly, 2017 was about Zlatan, my friend. Let's get that straight. Zlatan Ibrahimovic won those two trophies with Man United. He won the one, and in, again, Jose Mourinho maths, he won the Charity Shield earlier in the season as well. So let's just get it straight. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, not Jose Mourinho. But anyway, look, United are good. They're better than everyone thinks. They've had a disastrous season because it imploded under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in ways I never would have thought imaginable. Harry Maguire's had literally one of, if not the single worst season I've ever had and ever seen an elite centre-back have. Like, I mean, this is like Pascal Segon levels, but no one ever thought Pascal Segon was good, nor that he cost 80 million. Like, it's been bizarre how bad he's been, because if you think about it, literally just as recently as last summer, he looked amazing. He was brilliant for Man United. And then he got injured and he came back from injury. He was amazing for India. You're thinking, this guy's, he's about to hit his form, and he's just been awful all season. And United have eaten that, and they've eaten some awful form from Luke Shaw as well. And everyone's missed that. It's just been horrible, right? But Rangnick has come in and they've been getting better under him. And one thing you love about Rangnick is, if you listen to Spurs match interviews, he knows exactly what the problem is and how to solve it. Now, whether he's the guy necessarily himself, maybe he needs to get a coach in that really can maybe communicate that message better. I don't know who that is necessarily, although it's not Pochettino, I can tell you that right now. Let's see. But I think United are literally three players away from having a genuinely phenomenal first 11, right? You get a striker, get a defensive midfielder, and you get a right back, right? Because they clearly don't trust Wan-Bissaka for whatever, you know, reasons we've covered before on this podcast. So you get those two positions, right? United have got a first 11, compete with anybody. Now, is that enough for a league title challenge? No, you need a deeper squad with that. You need a more settled team. I don't think they've got that quite yet. But is it enough to win the Europa League next season? Yes. They're going to be in the Europa League next season. Well, they're not finishing top four this year, not lugging around a 37-year-old goal poacher up front who can't sprint anymore. So Arsenal put them to top four this season, but they'll be in the Europa League next season and they can win it. They should have won it last year. They should have won it the year before that as well. They're good enough to win the Europa League. We've seen that already. They will win the Europa League next year. That's my prediction.
We're going to flick back to the other half of North London. And Kaya, we're going to go back to you. Obviously, fresh on the back of Antonio Conte's comments about the defeat at Burnley last night. We know that Tottenham are in a really poor run of form in 2022, albeit going to Manchester City and beating them. Conte looks frustrated. He looks to be essentially reverting to type, where he gets irritated at the situation at a club and eventually, well, not really eventually, pretty quickly walks out. And we expect that there's going to be some friction. We obviously don't know at this stage whether he will stay and complete his contract, etc. But it doesn't look great. It doesn't look fertile ground to go on and win a major trophy. And Tottenham are in that group of supporters where they want a trophy. It's a long way since they won the League Cup. We have to go all the way back to 2008 under Juan de Ramos when they picked that up. Completely different team, completely different club. Expectations have changed around Tottenham. But in terms of actually winning a trophy or getting even close to winning a trophy, they don't necessarily look any closer, particularly in the post-Maurizio Pochettino era.
Yeah, I don't think... The reason Mourinho was brought in was supposedly because he was a winner, he was going to bring in trophies, didn't work. The same reason Antonio Conte has been brought in hasn't quite worked so far. It's a difficult one because unless these managers get backed in the transfer market, then chances are they're not going to be able to bridge the gap because the other teams are pulling even further away. So the league title, impossible for a team like Tottenham right now. Champions League, they'd have to qualify for it first. Europa League, potentially, but then again, they'd have to qualify for it first. So it's looking pretty tricky for them in terms of a trophy right now. Conte, I thought, could be the man to bridge that gap, but he appears to have fallen out with the hierarchy there already. It's difficult to comment on that without fully knowing the situation, but it does look like history is repeating itself with Antonio Conte. And listen, if you sign a player, a guy like him as your manager, you kind of know what you're going to get. So I don't think Spurs' hierarchy can really have any excuses, and they would have foreseen this coming. So where do they go from there? Do they try and reinvent themselves as another sort of trust the process type club? Do they employ someone like a Graham Potter, maybe someone like that, if Conte does end up leaving? If that's the case, then you may be waiting even longer for a trophy as a Spurs fan. But at the same time, you get your team probably playing a bit more coherent and better football with more of an ideology in the transfer market. So Tottenham's a really difficult one to predict. I mean, with Conte at the helm, they could easily go and win the FA Cup this season. Conte is someone who is capable of managing teams in individual games fantastically, and against the biggest sides, he'll do a good job. But I don't know. I don't see it happening anytime soon for Tottenham. If you ask me to put a year on it, it's difficult to say, because I don't think Harry Kane's going to want to stick around too much longer, particularly if they're not in the Champions League. Son signed a contract, so I guess he'll be staying, but it's really hard to see them winning a trophy at least within the next 5 years, unless their next managerial appointment is top-notch. I can't quite see it happening.
Obviously, before we wrap up at the end of the podcast, Mo and Kai are going to give us their full rundown from A to Z, from Arsenal to Wolves, of all the years that they think Premier League clubs are going to win their next trophy. So we're obviously going to be scribbling these down and crossing out and making changes as we go through the podcast. But one thing that we can be fairly certain of, Mo, is Liverpool, Manchester City and Chelsea, to kind of wrap up this top four-ish segment. Between now and the end of the season, between now and the end of 2022, the campaign, all three of them, you would anticipate, will have at least one trophy. Manchester City are currently leading the way in the Premier League. Liverpool are tracking them all the way. So Liverpool against Chelsea in the EFL Cup final this weekend. And then on top of that, you've got the Champions League, you've got the FA Cup. Do you see any scenario where the season ends and they have not won a trophy, all three of them?
No. I mean, well, Chelsea have already won a trophy. They won the Club World Cup. So good for Chelsea. Oh, and they won the UEFA Super Cup as well. So they've got two already. I mean, they're Super Cups, but still, good for them. No, I think they're all going to win a trophy. I think it's kind of boring to say that, but I think Chelsea will win the EFL Cup final on Sunday. I don't know how they're going to win it. I mean, Liverpool are playing fantastically, and they'll find a way. With N'Golo Kante, there's always hope, right? I think City are going to win the Premier League. I think even though Liverpool are closing them back down, City still have a 3-point advantage, and their game is at the Etihad, and they're usually better than Liverpool at the Etihad, and they've already battered Liverpool at Anfield. And I think City also tend to respond to a loss with like a 10-game winning run. So, and Liverpool have got a lot of more tricky games left than City do. Yeah. But I think Liverpool win the Champions League. I think they're hitting in that kind of scary form that Liverpool get into, where they're just like, they just roll teams over before they even step out onto the pitch. They look formidable. They've got a game against Man United in 2-3 weeks, which I feel like is going to be an absolute massacre after Rio Ferdinand's comments about Ralph Rangnick picking up more points than everyone except for Man City since he became Man United boss. So I think he's already signed their death warrant. So well done, Rio. but yeah, I think they'll win the Champions League. I think they're too far behind. City have got enough of an advantage. I mean, it's a tiny advantage, but they've got enough of an advantage. City will push it home. City are the best team in the league, in the world as well, I would argue. But you don't always have to be the best team in the world to win the Champions League. You have to have the right games at the right moments, and Liverpool are kings of that. They're looking formidable. Anfield is full of fans. I mean, yeah, I think they'll win the Champions League. So I think all three of them will win something this year. They'll split the trophies up between them.
Okay, fair enough. Right, we're going to move on to the next little block down. I have to be so careful that I don't upset or anger fans of certain clubs. So West Ham fans, I apologise. Wolves fans, Brighton, Leicester, etc. I do apologise. This is just the way we've kind of sliced the table up. So, Kaya, we're going to go to the next block, the Europa-y Conference League section. And I've thrown four teams in there that I think are probably going to end up in and around that point in the table. And that's Wolves, Brighton, Leicester and West Ham. So we're going to kick off with Wolves and Bruno Lage, who obviously came in to replace Nuno Santo last summer. He went on to Tottenham. Obviously, that didn't work out. Conte's come in, and that's now not working out either. But that's a separate issue. We've already talked about Tottenham. So Wolves are an interesting case, because when they came up under Nuno Santo, back-to-back Europa League finishes, was almost a kind of side story. And this ties in a little bit what you were saying before of perceptions of the value of winning a random cup over a European finish and tangible progress in the league and establishing yourself as not just an also-ran in the Premier League, but a threat to maybe not the top four, but certainly the top six and the top seven. And Wolves have managed that. They obviously had a little dip last year just before Nuno Santo left. Bruno Lage has brought them back to the table. And when you look at someone like Wolves and you look at Brighton and the model that Graham Potter has built there, is there maybe an argument that they're trying to steer away from this quite fan-centric idea of trophies are the most important thing, days out at Wembley are the best thing ever, but actually no, a better league finish, as well as the financial side of it, is actually better for the club. You can sign better players and you can build and actually progress as a club.
Yeah, I think in both of those cases, trophies are a bonus rather than an aim, if that makes sense. And maybe that sounds a bit dismissive or patronising for the two of them, but I think their focus is on qualifying for European football, which for Brighton would be an incredible achievement when you consider their net spend. It would be absolutely fantastic if they're able to get themselves into Europe. That would be testament to the kind of policy they've got, how well run the club is. I think that would be really good for them. Wolves, I would argue, are a little bit closer to a trophy just because of the teams who are sort of pushing for that European spots. They potentially look the most likely to claim a Europa Conference League place. And I think if they do end up qualifying for the Europa Conference League next season, they're able to hold on to some of their better players. I'm thinking of like Ruben Neves, for example, who's been linked with a move away. Then maybe you can start talking about Wolves as potential contenders for that trophy. And that does bring them a little bit closer in the conversation. Brighton, less so, just because I don't think they've quite got the pedigree to go out and win a European trophy. Even with Graham Potter as their manager, they'd have, I mean, you know, qualifying for Europe would be an amazing achievement for them, let alone going out and winning it. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I think there's nothing wrong with sort of having a consistent, solid plan that takes you higher up the league. And there's no need to, I guess, overexert themselves and risk, I don't know, bankruptcy. We saw what happened with, maybe it's a bad example, a bad comparison, but we all remember what happened with Portsmouth when they spent all that money. Yes, they won the FA Cup and that was great. It was a great day out. And I'm sure it's something that their fans will never forget, but now they're a long way off Premier League football. They're down all the way down in League One. They've been through all sorts of financial strife, and that's because of them trying to overexert themselves and sort of maybe go beyond their limits. Whereas I think a team like a Wolves, a team like a Brighton, are maybe just a little bit more realistic in the way they're trying to progress. And if they don't immediately win trophies along the way, that's fine. I mean, there's only four trophies that can be won a season. And if they go on an FA Cup run, if they go on a Carabao Cup run, fantastic. But I don't think that's the aim for those two sides. And I don't think most of their fans will be too upset if they continue playing good football, if they continue playing winning football, if they continue finishing top half of the Premier League. I'm sure they'll be absolutely fine with no trophies between now and who knows how long.
Looking at the other two teams that we've thrown into this block, Leicester and West Ham, Mo, they're in a different position in terms of fan perceptions because they are more established or perceived as more established Premier League clubs. Over the course of the life of the Premier League, Leicester have had 14 Premier League seasons and West Ham have had 24. Brighton have only had 3 and Wolves have only had 7, or certainly coming into their 7th season now. So perceptions come back into this and fans want trophies. Leicester, as you mentioned, right at the top. For me, the biggest story in the history of the Premier League was them winning the Premier League in 2016. They've gone away, 2017, sorry. They've gone away and won the FA Cup last season. They're out of it, but they are still, until May, the defending champions. So they have had a good taste of it in the last few seasons. West Ham have not. They've been there or thereabouts. A couple of final appearances in the last 10, 15 years. But they're maybe on the other side of this argument of what Mo said about Wolves and Brighton and their supporters and their managers. David Moyes and Brendan Rodgers, for as long as he is there, know that they're under a different type of pressure because of the clubs that they're in charge of.
Yeah, look, West Ham definitely have risen to that pressure to a degree. Like, they've been really good this season. Obviously, they've tapered off a little bit lately because they didn't get a striker in January when they very badly needed one to back up and replace Mikel Antonio, as we've said before, and as anyone who knows West Ham knows. Antonio has to do so much running up front that he physically gets exhausted, and then he doesn't always necessarily have it with him to score goals. He's a streaky goal scorer, especially because he has to do so much physical work for the team. And it's like, if you had a replacement striker, someone to rotate with him, then he wouldn't have to play every game, wouldn't have to rush back from injury and would be able to do well. But West Ham are very good. They've had a really good season. They've been really, really good value in the Europa League. Really fun to watch. I don't think they can maybe win it necessarily, but I wouldn't rule it out. They've been really good. They're really good. Leicester are a very strange situation because their squad is actually really excellent. Hit, massively hit by injury this season, but their squad is fantastic. They've got so much talent in there. And Brendan Rodgers is a good coach, but it all seems to be just collapsing right now, like bizarrely, like for no real reason. I mean, unless maybe Rodgers really did get his head turned by those Man United rumours back in autumn and hasn't been the same since. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But Leicester have got a lot of talent in that team, and they tend to win a trophy every now and again. Like, again, like they won the FA Cup last season. They won the Premier League 2016. So I think it won't be too long before they win something. They'll win the EFL Cup. They'll complete the set, right? The main three English trophies. They'll win the EFL Cup sometime in the next 5 years, I would suggest. Maybe even sooner. They've got a lot of talent in that team. Let's say EFL Cup 2025. Let's say that. They've got enough talent in that team. Patson Daka is going to be a fantastic success, replacing Jamie Vardy. They'll be okay. They'll win some. Maybe they won't win a major trophy again for a while, but they'll win the EFL Cup. West Ham, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, the talent is there. The team is there. They play well. They work hard. But you just can't tell with them. You just can't tell. But I have faith in them for some bizarre reason. I don't know why. And if they can get a striker in the summer, that's it, just a striker, because they're going to lose Declan Rice. But if they can get a striker and an adequate midfielder to replace Declan Rice, doesn't have to be a superstar, just someone that's good, I think they can win the Conference League next season. I genuinely do. I think they can win it next season. I don't know if they'll finish. And whether they finish in Europa League places, get knocked out of the Europa League into the Conference League, or whether they finish in the Conference League places, I don't know. But I think they can win it next. If they get a striker, they have to get a striker.
We've chopped the league up based on logic and based on league position so far, roughly speaking, Kaya. But there's actually going to be a bizarre subplot that's really going to get into gear next season. And that is the former Premier League midfielders playoff. Patrick Vieira in charge of Crystal Palace, Frank Lampard in charge of Everton, and Steven Gerrard in charge of Aston Villa. Now, Everton and Aston Villa probably fall into that Leicester-West Ham situation where the fans are demanding of a major trophy. Obviously, Aston Villa have a fantastic history, particularly when we go back to first division days, European Cup winners. Everton have that proud record so far at the time of recording of never being relegated from the Premier League. They are in a bit of trouble this season, but you've got to go all the way back to 1995 when they beat Manchester United in the FA Cup to their last major trophy. Lampard and Gerrard are probably going to come under more pressure to get their hands on a cup than Patrick Vieira at Crystal Palace, because the progress that he's made at Crystal Palace has already developed his reputation and bought him a big window, a deserved window. I don't just say that because he's Arsenal legend. He deserves the window that he's been given. Vieira is in a slightly separate situation. Lampard and Gerrard will feel the pinch a bit more. Where do you see this playing out? Everton, every season, we seem to have this crisis of identity of where is Everton's natural resting pace? Do they deserve to be in the race for Europe? Are we just kidding ourselves? Aston Villa are a massive club, but have consistently underperformed, particularly in the last two decades. And then Crystal Palace generally have never really been in the race. And only the arrival of Vieira has kicked off a bit of optimism that they could change their position.
Tricky. I think Everton are a team whose budget is a team that should be of that of a team who should definitely be challenging at least for the Europa Conference League places. But they're a team whose organisation is that of a team who is challenging or fighting off relegation. So if they're able to sort that out, fantastic. Do I think Frank Lampard's the guy to do that? No, personally, I don't think he'll be the one who can actually carry them back up the league. I think they definitely could go further up the league with a good manager, with a solid system. I think there's a lot of talent within that squad. I think Rafael Benitez was a poor appointment, but I think if they make the right appointment, I personally think it's a ticking time bomb with Frank Lampard. Not that he'll blow up in the same way as like a Benitez did, but I think in the sense that I think fans will get frustrated with his maybe lack of obvious playing style. It seems to change from at Chelsea. It seemed to change quite a lot. He never clearly had an identity of how he wanted his teams to play. And I don't see much of a difference at Everton so far. I mean, obviously it's very early doors, so it's very difficult to say. And I look back to those two transfers of Ali and Van der Beek on the same day, and that still, I've mentioned it on previous podcasts on this, but it bothers me, and it sort of shows me that maybe their planning is still as sort of ad hoc as it was before. If they sort that out, then sure, they could definitely be challenging for Europa Conference League. And I think if they got into the Conference League, they'd have as good a chance as any of the teams of winning it. Different story for Aston Villa. I think, again, they've spent a fair amount of money. They've got players like Coutinho. I think they've got much more of a chance of qualifying for European trophy. But they're the type of team who I think, under Gerrard, would probably take the domestic cup competitions quite seriously, because Gerrard is out there to prove himself. I'm not suggesting that he would sort of sacrifice Villa's league position for his own gain in the cup, but I think they're the type of team who would start to take these cup competitions quite seriously, particularly maybe a Carabao Cup at the start of the season when other teams are fielding weaker sides. Villa's squad depth is actually relatively decent. So I think maybe if they sign some better defenders, maybe I think they could do with a winger as well, Aston Villa. But if they're able to sort those two things out, then there's no reason why they couldn't win one of those domestic cup competitions. Again, like you said, the pressure is a little bit more on them just because of their own illustrious history. Obviously, one of the few English teams have actually won the European Cup. They've won trophies in the past, so I'm sure they'll want to get back to that level. And signings like Coutinho make you think maybe they're getting a little bit closer, but we'll see. Gerrard's pulling power does mean they'll probably be able to attract better players, which I think would maybe put them slightly ahead of Everton in the queue for a trophy. As for Palace, I don't think they will be sort of on the verge of a trophy, but I don't necessarily think that's a good or a bad thing. I think they're fine as they are, as long as they keep sort of just keeping their head above water in the Premier League and comfortably sort of swimming. A lot of it is Zaha dependent, so if they're able to hold on to Wilfried Zaha, then potentially a cup run. But if not, then mid-table Premier League is pretty good for them. And I think being as clear of the relegation zone as they are, and comfortably better than a lot of the teams worse off than them in the league, is what they should be aspiring to. And I think they're doing it quite well. I don't think they necessarily need to win a trophy as like a clear postage stamp, maybe to prove that they're sort of on the way up. I think everyone can see that Patrick Vieira has turned them into a better team this season, and they've made a lot of smart transfers as well. So I think, yeah, they're a team who probably won't win the trophy too soon, but I don't think that's too bad a thing for them. I don't think that's necessarily what they need to be aiming for, as much as I'm sure those Palace fans and the amazing atmosphere at Selhurst Park would absolutely love that.
One team that we've kind of hurdled over in the Premier League to kind of get ourselves round and talk about Vieira and Lampard and Gerrard is Southampton, Mo, because they're actually above the majority of the sides that we've talked about. But again, perceptions come into this. And when we talk about cup performances in the last few seasons, semi-final in the FA Cup in 2018 and a semi-final last season, Ralf Hasenhüttl has slotted them in as a very good Premier League side. Maybe if they had one or two players, which we seem to say about a lot of teams, they could make a push for Europe. But do they maybe fall into that gap of they've got enough in the squad to make sure they're okay in the Premier League, or maybe a bit better than okay, but overstretching in the cup competitions, in the FA Cup and in the EFL Cup, might be too much for them? Or do you think he could just roll the dice and go for it?
I hate to repeat myself, but if they get a goal scorer, they can win a trophy. Southampton play sensational football. Outside of Liverpool and City, it's probably the best football in the league, being perfectly honest. They are fantastic to watch, but they have absolutely zero goal threat, or maybe less than zero sometimes. Like, it's just watching them, you're thinking, how long could you watch this team without them scoring a goal? When they scored against Spurs to win that game, I was genuinely baffled. I was like, how have they done that? They're so bad at scoring goals because they just don't have, without Danny Ings, there's just nothing up there. But their football, the quality of their football is outrageously good. Ralf Hasenhüttl is a brilliant coach. Now, it's twofold reason. If they can get a striker and keep Ralf Hasenhüttl, right? Because look, Man United need a manager in the summer, right? They need someone who understands Ralf Rangnick's pressing style. They need someone who plays high-octane attacking football. I mean, you know, the Ralf and Ralf show, come on. Like, if you know, that would be a very smart appointment from United. He's shown that he can improve players. He's shown that he can work with young players. He's shown that he can work with very talented players. To me, that makes a lot of sense. He's shown that he doesn't get too bothered by big losses and big defeats. The man's lost 9-0 twice, and he's still going. He has shrugged it off. Because ultimately, and as much fun as we all have with those 9-0s, you know, look at Southampton now. They're still on the right track. They're still moving forward with some more investment, which maybe, you know, is a bit of a pipe dream. Yeah, again, if they get a striker and they keep Ralph Hasenhüttl, I think they can win the FA Cup by 2025. I think absolutely there's no reason why they couldn't do that. They have the talent. They have the style of football. They're great to watch. They just need someone to stick it in the back of the net, man. That's, if they can get that, they're golden.
Another team potentially suffering a bit of a crisis of identity, Kaya, is Leeds, because we talk again about history, association, connection with English football. Leeds United are right up there in terms of what they've won historically. The big long wait to get back into the Premier League resulted in them staying in the Premier League last season. They are in a relegation dogfight now as it stands. Marcelo Bielsa's contract is up at the end of the season. We don't know exactly how that's going to play out, whether he will sign an extension or whether he'll move on or whether they'll even stay in the Premier League. But they inevitably, because of the size of the club, because of the size of Elland Road, the fact that they're a one-team city as well, similarly to Newcastle and one or two other places that we've mentioned, the pressure does get ramped up, even if it is unrealistic. So let's just say Leeds do stay in the Premier League this season. Where do we see their plotted path towards winning a major trophy?
It's tricky because I think even if Leeds do stay in the Premier League this season, I don't think Marcelo Bielsa will stay. I think he might have just sort of reached his limit there. And I think Leeds fans would be very upset by that. And a lot of the Leeds squad would be quite upset by that. But I think it might just sort of be the time to maybe look to find someone who can offer them a little bit more stability. If he does stay, then I don't think they'll be winning a trophy, because Bielsa famously loves having a very small squad, and that works for league campaigns. It doesn't work for cup competitions. And maybe they could reach the latter stages of maybe a Carabao Cup or a FA Cup. But I don't see that happening. Potentially, if they have a really good season and other teams maybe have a poor season, they could qualify for a European place, because they do have that attacking potential and they do have the ability to beat any team in the Premier League on their day. But finding that consistency is very difficult for a team like Leeds. And under Bielsa, being able to just lock the back door is something that they struggle with. And I think most people would admit that. We're speaking the day after they lost 6-0 to Liverpool. Those kind of results don't indicate that you're anywhere near a trophy at this moment in time. It's going to be difficult for them. I don't think Bielsa is the guy to lead them to a cup success, just because, like I said, of the small score squads that he likes. But we'll see. I don't know. It depends. If maybe they bring in another manager at the end of the season and Bielsa does part ways, as he has done previously with other clubs, then it could be a different story. But sort of at time of speaking, I can't see Leeds winning a trophy, a cup competition or a European trophy for quite a while.
So the final four teams that we've placed together, Mo, now be nice. We've gone with Brentford, Burnley, Norwich and Watford. Now, Brentford fans, I know you're not in the bottom three or even the bottom four or five at the moment, but just for organisational sake, we've put you in there. So, Mo, be nice. We know that three teams are going to go down. That three.
Brentford are great. Why have you put them in that group? They don't belong there. Brentford are brilliant.
It's the connections with Lampard and Gerrard and Vieira, etc. I've fallen victim to it. I've fallen victim to reputation. I apologise. But I am going to put them in this for the argument's sake. Well, you can praise them. You can say that Brentford are going to win the Champions League next season. Okay, we're going to give you your chance here now.
Don't spoil it, Fergal. Don't spoil it.
Brentford, Burnley, Norwich and Watford. We know that the likelihood is that two, maybe three of them are going to go down this season.
Yeah.
Give us your calls on these. Give us some optimism. I've tried to be nice. I haven't really gone longer than 2030 for any team. But it is difficult when we see how the big clubs or even the medium-sized clubs just have these competitions locked down. Someone making an absolute bolt from nowhere is really difficult.
Watford and Norwich are gone. They're just gone. It sucks. I don't like it. You never like to see clubs go down. But they're gone. They're not good enough. Either of them are good enough. Watford have a lot of talent in the team, but there's just no direction at the club. Watford, I think, will win a trophy before Norwich, purely because Watford, they change managers so often. At one point, they're going to accidentally hire someone who's brilliant. And it will just carry. They'll only last two seasons, but in those two seasons, they'll win a trophy, right? That's Watford. That's what they'll do. That's the Pozzo family. Norwich. I mean, look, green and yellow looks really nice. That's all. There's nothing like. What do you say about Norwich? Who you know? They need investment. They, you know, there's no. They, you know, you want Norwich to do well. No one wants them to fail. They're very nice. Everyone likes them, but like they're not going to win a trophy anytime soon. They're not in 10 years. They won't win a trophy. I don't know when they'll win one, if they win one at all. But it'll be. Well, I'll have my prediction later. But you know, it's going to be a while. Brentford, I think, are good, man. Brentford are really nice. I mean, they're not like world class, world beaters. They're not like blowing you away sort of thing. But they're a good team. They could become a solid Premier League side. They could become a solid addition to the Premier League, a regular thing. You know, going to Brentford is always difficult. You always have a hard time, you know, and all that stuff. You know, Thomas Frank's really good. They play really good football. They're beautiful to watch. So I think they'll be all right. Winning a trophy? I mean, I don't know, long shot. I mean, again, I don't think before 2030, I think for Brentford, I think it's a bit too long. But again, you see, you talk about establishing yourself. So Brentford have come into the Premier League this year, right? They established themselves as a Premier League club over the next, let's say, 5 years, right? 5-6 years. You become an establishment Premier League club. You can improve recruitment steadily and steadily. I mean, they already recruit brilliantly anyway. But Brentford are building something, and I think it takes time to build something. But once it's built, I think Brentford can win trophies, for sure, for sure. The vision of that club is locked on, right? I ain't saying nothing bad about Sean Dyche.
In case he's listening.
No, look, by all accounts, he's a lovely man. I spoke to him, I interviewed Marmon Soldado. He told me that Sean Dyche is a great, lovely man. So I've never got a bad word to say about Sean Dyche. Love Sean Dyche. Burnley suck, but Sean Dyche is somehow a wizard. They will not get relegated. I don't know how they will not get relegated, but they will not get relegated. And they will continue to not get relegated next season, season after, season after, season after. And I'm not going to, I'll save this for my prediction later because I want to just, but I think they will win a trophy. And I know exactly when I think they're going to win a trophy, but they're not going to win it this year, obviously, or next year. But look, I love Sean Dyche and I think they will survive this year. Big love, Sean Dyche. Respect.
Right, okay. We're going to move on to lists. And I've seen that you guys are scribbling away to get yours done. I kind of had mine Blue Peter style already done with one or two changes whilst we've been recording. So I'll go first to give you a second. So we're just going to blitz through from 1 to 20 of when we think each Premier League club is going to win their next trophy. Right, so I'll kick off. It's like a school register. So we're going to start from the top. Okay, so Arsenal, 2023. Aston Villa, 2024, Brentford, 2028, Brighton, 2024, Burnley, 2028, Chelsea, 2022, Crystal Palace, 2026, Everton, 2024, Leeds United, 2028, sorry Leeds, Leicester City, 2024, Liverpool, 2022, Manchester City, 2022, Manchester United, 2023, Newcastle 2024, Norwich 2030, sorry guys, Southampton 2027, Tottenham 2024, Watford 2030, again, sorry, that's the kindest I could be, West Ham 2028, and Wolves 2025. So that's my list, that's my 20. Who wants to go first?
Okay.
All right.
Kaya, take it away.
Okay, I've gone Arsenal 2025, just trying to work out my alphabetical order. So Villa, 2028. Then who's next after that? It's Brentford. I've gone 2030. Brighton, 2030 again. When I say 2030, it's sort of 2030 plus, as in not going too far into the future. Fifth is then Burnley, again 2030 plus. I've got a lot of 2030 pluses. Chelsea, 2022, this year. Seventh is Crystal Palace, another 2030 plus. Keep going. Everton, I feel like 2028 maybe. Sorry, I've not scribbled this in alphabetical order, so it's made it a little bit difficult. Leeds again, 2030 plus. Leicester, 2027. Liverpool, either 2022 or 2023. I'll take a pick and go 2022. Man City, 2022 also. So I think all three of the big teams this season will probably win a trophy. 13th in the league in alphabetical order, we have Man U, 2024. Then I've gone Newcastle 2025 because I was convinced by Mo's Europa Conference League sort of tip. Then Norwich 2030 plus, 16th is Southampton, another 2030 plus. 17th is Spurs, who I've gone 2027. 18th, Watford 2030 plus. All these, I think, remaining teams are 2020. No, sorry, I've given West Ham a 2029 and then Wolves 2024.
Mo, I'm terrified of what your list is going to be, but come on, give it to
me. Arsenal are going to win the FA Cup next year. FA Cup 2023, that's a given. Come on, you know that's going to Aston Villa, Conference League 2024. Gerrard will recruit, they'll get Conference League places, they're going to win Conference League 2024. Brentford, let's say EFL Cup 2033, you know, let's be optimistic. They're going to build. They're building. Trust the builders. Brighton, I mean, I'm going to go with the fluky FA Cup 2027 when Chris Graham Potter just keeps getting ignored by top clubs. Burnley, Sean Dyche, Premier League champions 2040. Book it now. It's going to happen. Believe in Dyche. Chelsea EFL Cup this year. Crystal Palace EFL Cup. Let's say 2034, 2035, something like that. Everton, I think Everton will get on the Conference League hype, but in classic Everton fashion, it'll be really late. Let's say 2038. I'm not convinced by Everton at all, despite having the best defender in the world in Yerry Mina. Just not convinced. Leeds, they will. Bielsa is the Bill Shankly of Leeds, right? He's building, he's creating something. He's not going to be the main guy. Somewhere else is going to come in and be the pop as he wins some stuff. Premier League 2030. Watch it. Leicester, they're going to win the EFL Cup. They'll complete a set, like I said, 2028, I think. Liverpool will be Champions League winners this year, Champions League 2022. Man City Premier League winners 2022 this year. Man United Europa League winners 2023 next year. I think that's going to happen. I think they are potentially building something to Newcastle. Obviously, Conference League winners 2025. Norwich, I mean, this could be never, frankly. Let's say 2040 FA Cup winners. Why not? But honestly, never is the honest truth. Sorry, Norwich fans. They might win the championship a couple more times, but that'd be about it. Southampton, I think FA Cup 2025, I think that's definitely within their grasp. They are really good if they get a striker. Spurs, I think they'll win the FA Cup this year. I think it'll be Harry Kane's last hurrah. He's leaving in the summer. He's too good to play for that joke of a club anymore. Sorry, Spurs fans. I think he'll be his last hurrah. I think he'll score the winner in the FA Cup final this year and he'll win Spurs it. I don't know if Conte will be manager by then, but someone will be manager by then and Kane will win it and then leave. Watford, FA Cup, again, FA Cup 2037, let's say. And, you know, a good, solid, long way to go, but yeah. West Ham Conference League next year, 2023. I think the Premier League is going to dominate the Conference League, by the way, because there's a lot of depth, there's a lot of quality, a lot of money in the Premier League, and that's going to be expressed there. Wolves Conference League 2028.
Okay, some absolutely wild shouts in there, but also plenty of big, strong betting options. If you want to make yourself a millionaire, if money still exists in the next 20 years and you want to make yourself a millionaire, throw a few quid on some of Mo's suggestions. Take a breath for a second, because I'm just going to wrap up with one quick question. Kaya, given the fact that Premier League title race is still rolling on, we have the EFL Cup final this weekend with Liverpool and Chelsea, there's still the FA Cup, and in Europe there's still the Champions League, Europa League, and Europa Conference League, all with Premier League sides involved. We've touched on this expectation that Liverpool, City and Chelsea will all win at least one trophy this season. Do you think anyone is going to win two? I know Mo said that Chelsea already have the two world titles. Do you see, given the fact that it is so tight and so close and possibly so evenly spread, do you see Guardiola, Klopp or Tuchel picking up more than one trophy?
I can see Liverpool winning both the Carabao Cup and the Champions League. I think they could have, because they're in such good form, I can see them winning on Sunday against Chelsea, although that's a really tight game to call. It's really hard to call that one. I think maybe they'll just have a little bit more goal threat and that will prove them to be superior. And then in the Champions League, Pep Guardiola seems to get himself into sort of a mindset of just overthinking every big game in the Champions League, which seems to be prohibitive to Manchester City ever having a chance of winning it. So for me, that means that the next best team in the competition is Liverpool. So I would back them to win that. So potentially them. But beyond that, I can't really see. I think Man City will win the Premier League. I think Chelsea probably won't win the Champions League. And so, yeah, Liverpool would be my best bet for two trophies this season.
Mo, anyone for a double? Any version of a double? Any double will do?
Well, yeah, I think Kai's right. I think Liverpool. Liverpool probably a good shout to do it, because if they win the EFL Cup on Sunday, then they're halfway there already. And I think Champions League have got a genuine shout. But I'll tell you who's going to do a double. Burnley in 2040, they're going to win the Champions League and the Premier League at the same time. Sean Dyche has the most, no listen, outside of Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, Sean Dyche has the most established style in the Premier League. His team know exactly what he wants. They know exactly how to play. He just needs more money to get better players. I'm telling you, 2040, European double. Sean Dyche is going to guide Burnley to the... Sean Dyche with Dwight McNeil as the assistant manager. They're going to win the Premier League and Champions League in the same year, 2040.
Okay, I mean, I'm terrified by all of this, but this is what you listen to the podcast for. We've got Kaya with some realistic, balanced opinions, and then we've got Mo with what I'm describing as a kind of dystopian championship manager fever dream. That's what this is. This is like having a fever dream in a dystopian society whilst playing champ manager of Sean Dyche.
I may or may not have done a European double with Burnley in Football Manager.
Okay. So you have a window into a terrifying future. Well, not necessarily a terrifying future. There's definitely worse things that can happen in the future than Burnley winning the Champions League. But lump on your money now. Mo is backing it. Go for it. Right. We're going to call it there for today's slightly strange and slightly dystopian episode of the Squawker Talker podcast. Kaya, Mo, as always, thanks for your time.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Great stuff, guys. Don't forget, as always, if you hit subscribe up the top there, you can get access to a brand new episode of the Squawker Talker podcast every week. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you again very, very soon.